Hello and welcome to the Hella Rookie Podcast. Today we're talking the NFL Week 14 main slate, and these picks are brought to you by Monkey Knife Fight, the only place in daily fantasy sports where you compete directly against the house in prop bet style daily fantasy. If you love prop bets and you love daily fantasy, you're probably going to love Monkey Knife Fight. You can try it for free this week if you use the promo code HelloRookie. That's promo code HelloRookie for a free Monkey Knife Fight entry this week. Okay, so we are going to build a DraftKings lineup and a FanDuel lineup. Talk about some of the games, some of the, I guess, more popular plays this week, and then our picks and the reasons behind our picks. So let's start over at DraftKings. The top quarterbacks in this slate are Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. And no big surprise, they are the two most popular picks at quarterback this week. They have the highest projected ownership. I think Lamar Jackson's actually over 40% for the week. And it's hard to blame people for loading up on him. I mean, he's hit 4X in three of his last four games. He's been right at 30 fantasy points per game almost every single week, which is the number you'd have to hit this week to hit 4X value again this week. He seems almost matchup proof, but if you think he's going to have a down week, you know, in Buffalo is a place that I would bet him to maybe struggle a little. That being said, I wouldn't want to bet against him at this point, and I don't blame anyone for starting him despite that 40% tag. It's hard to make an argument. You know, I like Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins this week, 6,800 and 6,700. But it's hard to make an argument for those guys given how high Lamar Jackson's floor has been, the ceiling. So if you're looking at a quarterback at the top of the slate, I think you almost have to go Jackson. But that being said, I think, you know, both Rodgers and Cousins both have a good chance to hit value this week. Detroit's run defense has been pretty solid as of late, actually. If you look at how opposing running backs are scoring on them, it's actually been through the air. I think they've given up four receiving touchdowns to running backs in the last 5 weeks, something like that. So a lot of the productions come through the air, and they're actually been pretty decent on the ground. So there's a chance that, you know, and Dalvin Cook only averages, I think, for his career, coming into that first, you know, 31.5 point game against the Lions earlier this season, he was only averaging maybe 15 fantasy points per game against them in his previous three matchups with them. So it's not a spot that, you know, historically he's just, you know, always killed the Lions. So he could potentially, you know, banged up, have a bit of a down game, and it could be, you know, all Kirky this week. So 6,700, kind of like Cousins, Rodgers at 6,800. I think he's going to just shred the Redskins. So it's, you know, how well does Green Bay deal with the Washington run and get him the ball back? And is Washington able to keep it close enough to allow Rodgers the time to hit 300 yards and three touchdowns or whatever his ceiling is here? But I think he is going to have his way with the Redskins defense that's given up plenty of production to legitimate opposing quarterbacks and receivers. Their passing numbers are somewhat skewed by the fact that they've played a terrible schedule to date. But yeah, I like Aaron Rodgers at home against the Redskins as well. But, you know, again, it's hard to make an argument for any quarterback at the top other than Lamar Jackson, given the way he's playing. It was kind of surprising to see Mahomes had the second highest projected ownership for the week. I think that's, you know, people are well aware of the fact that he averages maybe, I think it's 325 yards and three touchdowns in his career against the Patriots, that, you know, those numbers have circulated. Obviously, he's not playing anywhere near that level right now, and the Patriots defense this year is considerably better than they have been in past years. So moving down the slate, I know a lot of people are on Darnold and Fitzpatrick. It's just not my style to roll with quarterbacks and matchups between two bad defenses. Two bad football teams in general. I get it. I get both of these guys have been hot as of late. But I'm more inclined to roll with Ryan Tannehill, who's, you know, $200-$300 cheaper than both those guys. Actually, $400 cheaper than both those. $200 cheaper. Both those guys are 6,000. Tannehill comes in at 5,800. I think you get a higher floor and a higher ceiling out of Tannehill. I think Tannehill really established his floor last week against the Colts, 15 DraftKings points. I don't think he'll be that low again this season. In fact, if you look at the 3 weeks leading up to that, he was averaging over 27 DraftKings points per game, thanks in part to the fact that he was averaging almost 40 yards per game on the ground and had three rushing touchdowns over that stretch. I like this matchup with the Raiders, who are somehow still a bottom three pass defense in the NFL. bottom three, or I guess a top three QB matchup in fantasy football, despite the fact that they've played the Chargers, Bengals, Jets, and got the Chiefs in a week where, you know, they were down. They ended up losing the game 40-9, and it just seemed like the Chiefs just ran out that clock the entire game. I think Mahomes only threw 20 passes or something like that. So despite that, you know, the easy month that they've had, they're still somehow in the bottom three in terms of fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position and passing yards allowed this season. So I like Tannehill on the road in Oakland. Again, he's been on a tear as of late. Look at his you know, since taking over the starting job, the Titans are now averaging over 30 points per game, and Tannehill, as I said, you know, over the past month, averaging over 27 fantasy points per game as the starter there. So like Tannehill in Oakland. And then at running back, I'm going to kind of play matchups here for sure and start Melvin Gordon against the Jags, who, in my opinion, are the worst run defense in football right now. The only team really giving them any run for their money there is Carolina, and I'll be starting Devontae Freeman at home against that Panthers defense. So going back to the Jags just really quickly, if you look at their last four games, they've given up 641 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns over that stretch. What's amazing is that they're by far the most RB friendly matchup in fantasy football, and kind of similar to the way that the Cardinals are giving up a ton of fantasy points to quarterbacks despite not giving up any rushing yards. The Jags are giving up a ton of production to opposing running backs despite being really good against running backs in the passing game. You know, over the past 4 weeks, they've only given up 13 receptions to opposing running backs and 0 touchdowns to the position, which is insane because, you know, when you compare that directly to the number two RB matchup, who right now has been the Texans over the past 5 weeks, they've given up 30 receptions for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns over that stretch. So a giant gap in production in the passing game, and yet the Jags still are managing to give up more production, and that's just because they're giving up, you know, they're over that stretch, they're giving up like, you know, 150 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns every week. So I like Melvin Gordon. We know that the Chargers want to run the offense through him. We've seen his snap count jump back up to 65% over the past five weeks, something like that. So at 65% and averaging 5 yards per carry in what is the best RB matchup on the board right now, I think Melvin Gordon at 6,400 is almost a must start this week. And then Devontae Freeman, you know, he's had to battle kind of a rough schedule over the past month or two on top of the injuries. We saw the week before he went down with injury, he had an 80% snap count. He came back last week, Thanksgiving night, to a 67% snap count. I think that number gets up to 75% here in week 14, coming off of 9 days rest. Again, they played Thursday, Thanksgiving, so they've had 9 days rest leading up to this one. And obviously the matchup with Carolina is, you know, with how bad they're playing right now, is going to be the best that he's had all season. The Panthers are giving up 6 yards per carry, and they've actually allowed 9 rushing touchdowns in their last 5 games. So they're legitimately the only team that is pushing Jacksonville for that, best RB matchup right now. So I'm going to play the matchups and roll with Freeman and Gordon in this DraftKings lineup here. Moving on to wide receiver. My favorite play at the wide receiver position is Davante Adams this week. We kind of talked about, that Washington secondary, and I think they're pretty susceptible despite the fact they've put up solid numbers. In fact, if you look at just last week, they gave up 13 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns to DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. There's a couple other, you know, legitimate number one receivers that put up decent numbers against them earlier this season. And I just kind of think Adams is going to start coming on now, you know, as we enter the fantasy football playoffs. He'll reestablish himself as one of those top 2 or 3 fantasy receivers. And I guess, you know, a home matchup against a bad Redskins defense, you'd expect him to torch them here. Especially when you consider the fact that he's put up, you know, 13 catches for 103 yards and 3 touchdowns since coming back from injury. you'd think, you know, 120 yards and two touchdowns is certainly within the realm of possibilities here in this favorable matchup. Especially when you consider, you know, Lazard had a long touchdown, and then, you know, I think Mercedes Lewis scored a touchdown last week. So some of those fluky things, I think Adams could actually see a higher percentage of red zone targets here this week. So Davante Adams, 8,000 is my favorite receiver play at the top of the slate. And then I like Mike Evans again. You know, he's got such a negative correlation between him and Chris Godwin. I'm kind of leeching onto the fact that Godwin averages, you know, like I think it's almost 11 DraftKings points per game fewer at home. Yeah, so it's 10.6 fewer DraftKings points per game at home. So if we're going to kind of assume that Godwin will be a little quieter this game, I think Mike Evans would be the Bucs receiver to target here. And really, when you look at what the Colts have given up to opposing number one receivers, they've given up a bunch of big games. They gave up 8 catches for 130 yards and a touchdown to Julio Jones. In 2 games against DeAndre Hopkins, they gave up 15 for 203 touchdowns. And then DJ Chark put up 8 catches for 104 yards and 2 touchdowns in this matchup earlier this year as well. So, you know, big receivers on the outside have had success against this Colts secondary this season. So I kind of like Mike Evans to have a kind of a sneaky big upside game here, which we've seen already. We've seen him hit 40 a couple of times already this season. So this could be one of those spots for Evans at home, especially when you consider how bad the Bucs run game is right now. And that, you know, they seem to have lost trust again in Ronald Jones. So I think it's just, I think it's a big week for Mike Evans. And I think it's almost a week where you could target Jameis Winston. In fact, he originally, when we first put together the article for the week, he was the quarterback in the article, and we were going to go with both Bucs receivers, but it ended up being, you know, Tannehill and Evans, just the way that we ended up putting this thing together. But I think that both Bucs receivers are in play, and I really like Evans, 7,200 on DraftKings. Okay, and then wide receiver 3. I actually expected to see, when I saw the projected ownership numbers, I expect to see Robbie Anderson higher, just given how much I'm hearing his name this week. But he's banned from our website. He's banned from our podcast. So we're going to roll Jamison Crowder. And the other thing to keep in mind with Robbie Anderson is, you know, Nick Needham's really coming on for Miami as a shutdown corner. He's traveling, it seems like, every week. So Anderson is certainly going to get shadow coverage from Nick Needham this week, given how he's played the past few weeks. So I would expect this to once again be a Jamison Crowder week. Averaging over 7 targets per game, he had 8 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown in this matchup earlier this season. In fact, Pro Football Focus has this as the largest mismatch of the week. You know, Jamison Crowder facing off with the nickel corner, slot corner for Miami, Jamal Wiltz. So I expect another big week out of Jamison Crowder. He'll probably be, just given how high I've seen the ownership numbers for Sam Darnold, he'll probably be a pretty popular pick. I would assume guys will probably stack both Crowder and Anderson with Darnold in some of those lineups. So, but I prefer Crowder, and as I said, I don't think it's that great of a matchup for Robbie Anderson. And he's obviously a player I love. So, and then moving on to the tight end position, by far my favorite pick of the week, Darren Waller. You know, Oakland, you know, now that Hunter Renfro's out, Tyrell Williams has been abysmal. No one else has stepped up in that passing game. It's pretty much Darren Waller, and that's it for Derek Carr. And this is a game where, you know, they're going to have to score points. As I mentioned earlier, Tennessee comes in averaging 30 points per game with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So you know that the Titans are going to score. The Raiders are going to have to try and keep pace in, you know, it's actually, you know, Gruden's been actually pretty poor at that. You know, when they get behind, that's where he tends to struggle. He's, you know, he's at his best when the Raiders can play from, you know, out front, can control the down and distance, control the pace of the game, try and hide that, you know, that awful pass defense as much as possible. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. You know, the Titans giving up 4 yards per carry on the season, and actually it's less than that when you look at some of the advanced metrics. Their run defense has actually been better than that. They've given up a handful of really, really big kind of fluky chunk plays to running backs this season. So arguably less than 4 yards per carry. on the year. It's I think the Raiders are going to have to throw, and I don't think they have any choice but to throw it to Waller a ton. This could be another, you know, 14, 15 target game for him. And the sneaky thing here is when you look at the Titans' numbers on the year, they're pretty solid. They're decent against opposing tight ends. But when you break it down and actually look at individual matchups, similar to what we did with Mike Evans, they've actually been torched by good tight ends this season. They've given up, they gave up, you know, six catches for 73 yards on a touchdown to Doyle last week. But going back even further, they gave up 7 for 75 and a touchdown to Kelsey, 6 catches for 97 yards to Hunter Henry, and 9 catches for 130 yards to Austin Hooper. So good tight ends have had their way with them this year. I think, you know, given what sort of target share Waller will have here, I think that he is going to have a big week. At 5,800, probably a little overpriced on DraftKings. His price is a little fairer on FanDuel, which allows you to do a little more in the flex spot on FanDuel. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and just plug in a defense here. We usually don't give a defense, but I'm just going to roll the Titans. On the road in Oakland, Oakland's a little banged up. Tennessee's defense is starting to come on. I think they had 20 last week, something like that. Yeah, 20 points last week against Indianapolis. So at 2,600, that leaves us 3,500 in the flex spot, and I actually have a guy at 3,300 that I really like this week in Irv Smith. Okay, so Irv Smith, obviously a decent game against the Lions. It was almost a breakout game. It was you know, I think Thielen tried to come back and maybe played one play, or maybe even been the play or the game he was originally hurt in. But, you know, we came out of that game basically saying Irv Smith is going to be the number two receiver for Minnesota moving forward with Thielen out. And it's, you know, the targets don't lie. It's pretty much played out that way. Obviously, Rudolph has kind of established himself as the red zone guy. But I think Irv Smith is, you know, if they're trying to throw it to someone other than Diggs, I think it's, you know, Smith is number two in the pecking order here. We've seen it with the targets. Caught 5 of 6 for 60 yards against the Lions in the last game. It really could have been a lot more. He was torching their secondary. Diggs just kind of, you know, once Slay went out in that game, there was nothing the Lions could do to slow down Diggs, just given, you know, what their game plan was coming into the week. You know, they wanted to go man on the outside, try and slow down Dalvin Cook. So once they moved Justin Coleman or Rashawn Melvin over top of Diggs, it was just too much of a mismatch. With a healthy Slay, I think Irv Smith could see a season high in targets here, maybe 8+ targets in this one, giving him a pretty high floor for his $3,300 salary. So I think this might be the first time this season that we've started two tight ends in a lineup, but I really do like Irv Smith as a value play at 3,300. I think, you know, BC Johnson's been pretty unreliable as a second option. So if Slay's able to somewhat slow down Diggs and Dalvin Cook isn't having, you know, the success that he is used to, Irv Smith actually could be extremely busy in this one. So I like Irv Smith at 3,300 in the flex here. Then if we take the same picks over to FanDuel and put it together over there, basically, what we're left with is a little more space in the flex because, primarily because Waller is so much cheaper, I guess, relatively speaking. I think he's at DraftKings, he is tight end 4. Maybe he's not that much cheaper. He's tight end 8 on FanDuel, so he is a little bit cheaper. So again, Tannehill, Tannehill at quarterback, Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman. Then moving to wide receiver, Davante Adams, Mike Evans. So again, Adams 8,400 on FanDuel, Evans 7,700 on FanDuel, and then Jameson Crowder 6,000 on FanDuel. Let's just plug in let's go with the Steelers on defense here. So that's going to leave 6,800 in the flex. Again, we We somewhat upgraded the defense here on FanDuel, and we still have room for a considerable upgrade at flex here as well. So in the 6,800 range, I would probably go with a high floor with Joe Mixon. I mean, given how good the matchup is with the Cardinals, in fact that they're letting Hodges throw it downfield a little more than they let Mason Rudolph, or, you know, Hodges maybe just a little more willing. I think James Washington might have a slightly higher ceiling than Joe Mixon, but I'm going to go with Joe Mixon. Cleveland's run defense has been soft all season. Mixon's volume's steadily increasing. I think that the return of Dalton only helps Mixon. Similarly, you know, getting a guy like John Ross back on the outside should keep defenses a little more honest, which will give him a little more favorable boxes here in a beatable matchup. So DraftKings is Tannehill, Gordon, Freeman, Adams, Evans, Crowder, Waller, Irv Smith, and over on FanDuel, we're doing Tannehill, Gordon, Freeman, Adams, Evans, Crowder, Waller, and Joe Mixon. That is it for week 14. College football, for those of you waiting for the college football podcast, that'll be out around the same time tomorrow, sometime around noon, 1 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have the conference championship podcast for college football out. Thank you for listening. Wherever you're listening, make sure you subscribe, turn on alerts so you get notified when this podcast posts each week. And we will see you tomorrow.